I'm Matt Miller of the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts. Make sure you check out all the other great educational podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
That's where service leadership is so freeing, because you don't have to be the expert in any one thing. Your job is to create a community where everyone brings their skills and strengths to the fore, and we grow together.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome to episode 106. This is the start of the third and final week of releasing two podcast episodes each week. I hope you have gotten as much value out of them and have enjoyed them as much as I have. This episode will feature Brad Hughes, and I loved getting to talk to Brad about his ideas around service leadership and transformational leadership. And I think what I loved the most is how Brad described how leaders can actually serve their staffs, their followers, but at the same time, the people that they are serving and leading are also helping the leader grow. Brad has a lot of thoughts and ideas about that, and I can't wait for you to listen. So right after this will be my interview with Brad Hughes. Well, I am excited because my guest in this episode is Brad Hughes. Brad and I met again through the Teach Better Mastermind. I keep saying, you know, this is like one in just a string of many interviews that I've done over the past couple of months with amazing leaders who are part of that Teach Better Mastermind group. And Brad is no different. Brad is an amazing leader in Canada, and I'm excited to talk to him about his work and his experiences. So Brad, welcome to the show. And if you could, please just let the listeners know who you are, where you are, and what you do.
Dan, thanks. Great to be here. Brad Hughes from Ontario, Canada. I live and work in Waterloo Region, which is a municipality about half a million people west of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I'm an elementary school principal at a K-6 school. This is my 10th year in school leadership, and it's my 25th year as an educator in the same region. I'm a parent. My wife and I have two university-age kids, and I'm passionate about connecting with other great people, just like you are, Dan, through the Teach Better team, through the Mastermind, and through our growing PLN. So it's a pleasure to be with you.
Likewise, my friend. And let me start with this, and it's cool because when I book guests and schedule time to do these interviews, a lot of times we sort of have an idea. Either the guest brings some ideas forth that they want to discuss, or projects that they want me to highlight, or I have some ideas. But with you, you were kind of like, I'm willing to just go wherever you want the conversation to go. So I'm interested to see where this conversation takes us. But I want to start with, it seems like what I know about you, that you're obviously a building leader now, K-6, but you've had a lot of experience both in the classroom and as a leader, like in all grade levels. I guess my question is, like, what have you found in terms of which ones you like, what the differences are between them? Let's start there.
Dan, I've liked them all. So my career started as a French language teacher, and it was French language teaching that got me a job and kept me employed for 16 years. It turned out that I loved it. So I was meeting a need in our district and in our province at the time for teachers that were both primary qualified and French language qualified. So I got my grounding teaching first, second, and third grade French language. And what I found so engaging about that opportunity was the fact that I could just really be myself. I could bring music, drama, comic relief, and just engage kids with a really fun and fresh and timely approach to language learning. And as I grew in my experience, I was able to take on additional roles within the school to teach in the junior division, fourth, fifth, sixth grades. And there, that's where my commitment to relationships, developing relationships in the classroom, really continued to grow. And that's where it was really evident that with older kids, as the kids got older, they needed different things from me, and I needed different things from them. But above all, it was a real reminder and a necessity to change my approach to teaching to meet the needs in front of me. Then I actually went into the middle grades, into middle school, seventh and eighth grades. I got a job at the same school teaching seventh and eighth grade French language, and actually finished my career with the opportunity to do exactly what I hoped to do when I left university, that was teach visual arts. I've got a degree in visual arts and English literature, and had a lot of experience back in university with both art history and studio arts and design. And so, you know, finishing my career in the visual arts classroom was incredible. But again, constantly challenging myself and being challenged to adjust my approaches to meet the needs and interests of the kids in front of me. And the visual arts classroom for me, Dan, was just transformative. An incredible opportunity to welcome kids into a room where they could be themselves, they could see themselves reflected back in the opportunities they had to create a wide variety of visual art. And it was a safe place where kids could come together and maybe succeed in ways that other subject areas they weren't as successful or not yet successful. There's something really revealing about arts, whether it's visual arts, musical arts, dramatic arts, or something really revealing that happens when educators allow themselves to come alongside kids and make those opportunities available. So I haven't really had a favorite grade to teach, because every grade along the way brought me such enjoyment, brought me something that I needed in my journey as an educator. And I'm really grateful, because now I've got all these lessons learned. I've been able to invest my learning and understanding of what kids at various ages need. So now, as I'm a coach or a teacher of teachers now in my admin role, I can both draw on that experience, but I can also welcome and celebrate the wide amount of experience around me as a building leader.
That's great. And you kind of alluded to this, but one of the things that I have found to be most special about you is the way that you kind of toe the line between being, I guess, serious, for lack of a better word, but also bringing about this amazing sense of humor. And I know you mentioned that before in terms of bringing it into the classroom. I guess my question is, how did you go about doing that? And also, I'm assuming, again, correct me if I'm wrong, that you'd like to do that as a building leader as well. So how do you bring that into your work as a leader too?
I sure do, Dan. And what I've found in my journey personally and professionally is that by looking outwards to opportunities to serve and uplift others, I actually end up improving the own quality of my life and the quality of what I'm able to do as a professional. So ever since I can remember, I've really enjoyed connecting with others, and especially kids, so positively and with humor, a gentle teasing and joking, and just a willingness to engage through humor is what has really brought me so much success and so much gratitude in terms of the relationships that I develop with kids, their parents, my colleagues. And so as a building leader too, I'm always looking for ways to engage and connect with kids and adults through humor. I try to have a really good memory for the good things that people are bringing forward, whether it's a new haircut or a new book they're reading if they're coming back from the library, or something really cool that I've seen them seen my teaching colleagues do in the classroom. Or anyway, I try to have a really good memory for the great things that I see and reflect those back to people. I've always wanted to be on a game show. I've always wanted to be in radio and broadcasting as well. So I find that these aspects of my professional life are coming forward now, not only as an aspiring podcaster, but, you know, the morning announcements at our school, that's a real passion for me. And as a French language teacher, I was always sort of running game show style activities within the classroom. So, you know, fundamental for me is creating a space, whether it's a classroom or a school or a podcasting space, where people look forward to coming in. They're looking forward to positive things happening, and they leave feeling glad they came. And so my approach to everyone that enters our school building, or anyone that entered my classroom, was to make them feel welcome, figure out what I could do to help kind of reveal their greatness, reveal their awesomeness, and leave and have them leave hoping to come back for more the next day.
That's awesome. You know, I love when you're joking around and just trying to help kind of ease people's minds and I guess let everybody know that it's okay not to take yourselves too seriously sometimes. And it sounds like you do that still and that you've done that throughout your career. So I think that's great. And just getting to act or like kind of live vicariously in a way through opportunities to, like you said, kind of perform for everybody. One of the other things that you said, in addition to kind of performing and entertaining, is serving. And it sounds like, and I know that in our time together, speaking to each other and being part of the Teach Better Mastermind, I know that that's a something that you take very seriously as well. So, you know, where did that come from and how do you go about taking on that kind of responsibility, so to speak, when it comes to really making sure that you're serving all stakeholders in your community, students, parents, families, board, everything?
Dan, I really benefited from incredible models in my parents. My dad was a small business owner. He was a self-employed optician for over 30 years. And as a kid, I had the opportunity to visit his office space many, many times and see him interact so lovingly and devotedly with his clients. As a small business owner and entrepreneur, my dad was not only customer focused, but person focused too. So he had a job to do, but in his service profession, he was able to improve the quality of lives of people by really helping them to see clearly and enjoy the world more clearly. My mom was also in service professions. She was everything from a stenographer and bookkeeper to an accounts payable and receivable clerk. She worked in 9 different offices in her working life, and all of them were focused on improving the work life and improving customer service for everyone she was in contact with too. The teachers that I had growing up were absolutely kid-focused and service-focused as well. And there was a real bent at that time as I transitioned from middle school to secondary school or high school, Dan, to not only take what your school had to give you, but look for opportunities to give back to your school. So as a high schooler, I had an opportunity to do peer tutoring. And that was where I really caught the spark for education. Had a wonderful teacher mentor named Debbie Tuck. She was my modern languages teacher, and she tapped me and said, "Brad, I'd love to have you as a peer tutor." That's where I got the knack for really coming alongside others in terms of coaching and in terms of instruction. Because I mean, if you're a high schooler and the tap for you is you've got to get yourself to peer tutoring, that's really vulnerable because you're in a position where it's perceived that you don't know or can't yet. And in terms of peer relationships, you're sitting down beside, you know, a same age peer who is supposedly the expert. So what I realized, it wasn't what I knew that was important. It was how I could meet the needs of the person beside me, who was sometimes a stranger, so that we could feel comfortable and so that we could succeed together. And in doing so, I found that I was transformed too. And that's what's really key about education, always has been for me, is as much as we influence and impact the lives of kids, we as educators are tremendously impacted by their influence on us. And so it was, you know, through peer tutoring and opportunities to do a variety of service opportunities, both in the school and the community, that service leadership, I think it's just in my DNA. Also through times where, you know, I was less successful, or whether I was struggling with things like anxiety or worry, it was service that got me out of my own head, out of my own worries, out of my own sort of fixations on what wasn't working or how I was falling short. And I found like a really physical and emotional switch, like a very, very clear switch in my outlook when I turn my attention outwards to supporting others. I love the feeling that I get, and I know others do too, when you realize you've made a difference for one person. And so I continue to focus on making
actually,
different. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I wanted to jump in on that specific thing that you just said, because I've heard you say it a few times in very different ways. But what I'm taking away from what you're saying about being that sort of service-oriented leader is that it serves multiple purposes. Of course, you are helping someone grow, whether it's a student or another adult learner. And that's why I love instructional coaching so much. And that is a form of leadership, but that you get so much out of it too. And there's that reciprocity, that service leadership is reciprocal in the sense that, of course, you're serving others, you're leading others, but you are being led and you are being supported and you're being educated at the same time. I think that's really powerful and profound. And I just wanted to stop you there because you said it again. And I was like, you know, that's what I'm going to take away, I think, from this conversation, but specific to this part of the conversation about that aspect of service leadership.
Dan, thanks. And if I take you back to the start of our conversation where, you know, I let everybody know that I got into teaching through French language, you know, I understand and I reflect on in my 16 years of teaching French language, there were also incredible teachers that I was working alongside who were moving English language instruction, mathematics instruction, STEM instruction forward as well. So when I got to be a school leader, and it's like, wow, Brad, you're an instructional leader now. You are going to be moving your school forward on language, math, and STEM. And you really don't have, you know, I kind of felt like a bit of a pretender, kind of an imposter, didn't have the footing in order to do that. And that's where service leadership is so freeing, because you don't have to be the expert in any one thing. Your job is to create a community where everyone brings their skills and strengths to the fore and we grow together. And just like you said, it is cyclical. And service, just like content creation, helps me to develop greater and greater clarity of purpose. I try to meet people where they are moment to moment. I try to, you know, brighten their day or lighten their load. I see the effect. They reflect back to me that it makes a difference. You see those ripples go outwards. You never know where those ripples of influence are going to end. But that's been my approach all along, Dan, is service and influence. It creates a great community. It creates a community where people feel comfortable and feel welcome. And we try to prioritize that sense of welcome for everybody that comes into our building.
I can't begin to tell you how much I love what you said a couple minutes ago about how, you know, and again, I appreciate all your vulnerability and what you shared, but you just shared about how when you became a school building leader, that you basically experienced imposter syndrome where you weren't sure how well or how much you would have an impact across all content areas, having only experienced, you know, teaching French or I guess for a little while teaching the visual arts, like you said. I felt that too. When I became an instructional coach for the first time, I said, you know, here I am as a former ELA and reading teacher. How am I going to support a science teacher, a math teacher, or heck, even like a gym or an art teacher? And that's, for me, that's what really launched me into wanting to consume and create content with the potential for connecting with and learning from educators who were from all over, you know, not just in my own building or in my own district. And I have to say that actually for me, that same kind of imposter syndrome that you speak of, it really helped me actually in my career to break through that. And so much of what I've done over the last several years is actually due to having that. But what you said also was great because it sort of fuels my passion for not just servant leadership, but transformational leadership. And so I guess to follow up, I wanted to ask you, as a school leader, how have you gone about then kind of empowering other educators and tapping into the strengths of other educators when you recognize that I can't do it all, I don't know it all, and I need to utilize the talent around me to make sure that my building, you know, flourishes and runs as successfully as it can?
As a building leader, you have to assume capacity and positive intent on the part of everyone around you. And part of building, sort of part of being a new leader to a building is discovering the strengths around you. And so you do basically what's a talent audit. You know, what makes the people around me tick? What fires them up about being an educator? What are their you know, particular strengths? And even more importantly, where are they willing and eager to grow? And as, you know, a servant leader and transformation leader, that's, I think that for me, Dan, is the key question, is not what do I know that I want to teach you, but what do you know that you want to improve, and how can I facilitate that improvement? How can I surround you with the practical, the logistical, and the learning support to make your goals and dreams come true for your kids? As a leader too, if you recognize that there are definite areas for growth, whether you're working with a novice teacher or you're working with a teacher through a performance appraisal, and you recognize that there are areas for improvement that the teacher may not even be aware of, you have to make sure that you're proceeding on that path, having developed that trusting relationship first. You have to, again, just make sure everything you do, everything you say, everything speaks to your belief in others, and everything speaks to your belief that there's awesomeness waiting to revealed in those around you. And that, you know, the transforming others, just as we talked, that transforms oneself as well. It's through these interactions with individuals and collectively with groups, and seeing a building, like a building faculty grow in capacity, is transformative for the leader. At the beginning, you think, how am I going to possibly do this? What I've learned is that you leverage the strengths around you, and you always appeal to a higher calling. So whether that's a building approach, or whether it's a district approach, we're all members of a learning organization. And so for me, it's really been important and really been impactful to peel back the layers for my staff members on how their individual contributions in room 3 or room 9 or room 14, how their individual contributions are reflective of and contributing to improvement as a school and improvement as a district, how what they're doing, what they're choosing to learn, and how they're connecting with the kids is helping move an entire community, in our district of over 160,000 students forward. Peeling back the layers on the why, just as you want to explain the why to kids, you want to explain the why to the adults to serve them as well. And just bringing people together with opportunities to celebrate those contributions and that growth continues to be so important.
That's fantastic stuff right there. And again, it just speaks to so much of what I have invested myself in my own research over the past couple of years about transformational leadership again, but how to really empower others. And I don't want anyone listening or watching to have missed this point, because you mentioned it really quickly, but it stuck out to me so glaringly. You said a couple minutes ago, I don't even know if you remember what you said, but you said, Brad, that everything you do starts with a trusting relationship. Those two words right there are huge in education right now and always, that you want to build trust, and you do that by harnessing, leveraging, maintaining really strong and positive relationships with everyone you're working with, from students on up to building and district leaders. So I just wanted to make sure to highlight that point, because I think it's so important. So thank you for all that you have said here about that. It really speaks to me as well as I think the listener too. Before we start wrapping up though, I did want to ask you, even though you said that you didn't necessarily have projects to highlight or topics that you wanted to hit on, please share what's going on with the Good News, Brad News podcast, because I love the title and I love the idea behind what you're sharing in terms of your content as well.
Dan, thanks. This has been a journey of over a year, and it actually started with school closures, where I began to grow my Twitter PLN to seek resources for my staff members. It actually, again, just it became a tremendous resource for me personally and professionally. Over the past fall of 2020, I had the opportunity to be a guest on podcasts and really enjoyed the conversations and found myself growing through the conversations. And it was actually through a book club at our school that a colleague, you know, recommended that, you know, I build on what we were learning through Kelly Corrigan's book about the creative life, and really build on that and branch out and host my own podcast. I set a goal to do that, and I put a teaser tweet out there in December so that I would have everyone, including myself, holding me accountable to do it. And it's been tremendous fun. So the Good News, Brad News podcast, to this point, we are coming up to episode number 8. And the focus is on amplifying the great work of educators like you and me and like our listeners, Dan, that may not yet be well known, but they're heart-led, they're impactful, people are growing in purpose, they're growing in clarity of why they do what they do. And it's an opportunity to leave listeners wanting to know more about those people. So these are people that kind of light my fire, people that spark my interest. And I've been really pleased to have guests both from Canada and the United States. And I even spoke to my first international guest in episode 7 from the Shetland Islands in the UK. I'm also experimenting with sort of putting my own thoughts out there. So at this point, we're in a cycle of 2 interviews, and then I have a news brief. So a shorter episode where I kind of expand on something on my mind or something that I may have blogged about, or what I'm trying to create is resonance or ripples of ideas where we keep coming back to the themes of service, you know, putting vision into action, finding the fun in what we do. And above all, I just want guests to leave having their awesomeness reflected back to them, because, you know, education in particular, but in many walks of life, there's the risk of us serving in isolation without the opportunity to have the impact of what we do reflected back to us. And you know, just like we have found too in content creation and in instruction, when we have those opportunities to have that reflected back to us, it serves to reinforce that we're on the right track and that we are, you know, the time and investment that we're making in others is worthwhile. So the Good News, Broad News podcast has been just a fantastic addition to my personal professional life. And as I said, it's been great fun.
That's awesome. And I totally agree that, you know, putting yourself out there, especially when doing interview style shows where you get to really learn from other people, is super powerful and impactful on my own professional learning as well. I love learning from my guests. So Brad, I've learned a lot through this conversation. Thank you so much for being here. Before you go, please let everyone know how they can connect with you and find your content and find your social media, so in case they want some more information from you, they know how to find you.
Dan, this has been a real pleasure for me too. And I want to thank you and your listeners for the opportunity. You can find me on Twitter at Brad, B-R-A-D underscore Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. You can also find at Brad News Podcast on Twitter. You can listen to the Good News, Brad News podcast really wherever podcasts are found, whether that's Stitcher, Google, Apple, Anchor, just name it. You'll find me out there. And one thing I'd really like to get is additional feedback, Dan, from listeners about not only the impact of the podcast, but what they'd like to hear. You know, both of us are really committed to making sure that we're being received as intended. So we want to make sure that we have those mechanisms for feedback. So I'd love to hear from any of your listeners. And I would love for anybody to hit me up on Twitter. I'm always looking to grow community through social media, through the podcast. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thanks for being here and congratulations. You know, I know that episode 8 might not seem like a lot, but I think there's a magic number of 7 out there that basically says that a lot of podcasters can only get to about an average of 7 episodes. And if you get past that, then it becomes a pretty serious thing. So good stuff there. Congratulations. Thank you so much. And this has been a blast. Thanks, Brad.
It's been a pleasure, Dan. Thank you so much.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are, or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.